The views and opinions of the host and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, good morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 12th of August, 2021, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. Let me give you the call-in numbers for the show. You can call us at 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us at 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. And that text line is powered by BTC, and standard text rates apply. We're also streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. You can listen in on TV on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or Flow Channel 612. Or you can download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. And I am streaming live today's show on my Facebook page if you are unable to tune in via any of those other options. Well, there's lots in the news today, and that's exactly what we're talking about. What's in the news, what's in the papers, and what's not in the papers, in particular, protocols for reopening of schools. But before we get into that sort of heavy part of the conversation, I have something very weighty on my heart that I need to discuss with y'all. I have had reason to ask myself this question over and over again, but never as urgently as I did yesterday. What is a real Bahamian? Like, who is a real Bahamian, right? And I have to say that this was prompted by being forced to watch somebody teach a Bahamian child to eat baggy in a bowl. Somebody is out there teaching Bahamian children that the way that you eat baggy is that you put it in a bowl and you cut open the plastic and remove the plastic entirely and eat the baggie with a spoon. Now, I am big about culture and I am big about cultural retention. And I am here to tell you, I will send the police after anybody who teaching children to eat baggie in a bowl with a spoon. There are many things that are not, or that are Bahamian culture, but that ain't it. Now, I understand in the time of COVID, we need to be able to change our behavior, our habits, our rituals, and our practices. So here is the new COVID rule for eating cup and baggie. You have to rinse off your cup or your baggie, the sides of the cup, before you eat it. You have to sanitize your hands and make sure that your hands are clean when you're picking up and putting down the cup or the baggie. Because even though you're eating a cup, right, you're still putting your mouth on the plastic on the outside of the cup to eat it. Now, I think it's important to teach children that. But this whole thing of taking the baggie out of the out of the plastic bag and putting it in a bowl don't make any sense. But I tell you what, that's what happens, right? When we don't think about the things that we do on a regular basis, like the everyday things, and we don't think about how they're impacted by the pandemic and how we have to be able to change our behavior to accommodate new needs during the pandemic. Now, that may seem easy breezy, like easy breezy cover girl, right? But the truth is, it isn't that easy. It isn't that easy to shift habits, to change behaviors. And first of all, you got to know what you're trying to shift to first. You got to identify the behaviors that you want to model that are or are effective for you, right? And then you're going to need some help doing that. Reinforcing the habit change, the ritual change. And you're going to need constant reminders. But not just that. You need the other systems that you interact with to also be able to and willing to change, to accommodate all the other changes. This shift in behavior thing is not that easy. See, because if it were that easy, as soon as the government passed the law that say you can't drive with your cell phone in your hand, y'all would have put the cell phone down. You wouldn't sat there, arguing with yourself about whether it's really, is it really a danger that I have it in my hand? I'm not actually on it. Well, I'm just talking, I'm not reading or typing a message, right? So that can't be half bad. So changing behavior takes time, and it takes not just practice, it takes work, intentional, committed work. And so while we try to figure out why people can't follow the protocols, let's stop and pause and ask ourselves, are we going about what is essentially a behavior modification program appropriately, effectively? And to be honest with you, Without empathy and respect, nothing that you're going to do is going to be appropriate or effective. And I got a quick text here say, that ain't baggy, that's a sorbet. Look how they trying to gentrify the baggy. And I'm sure many of you missed it because it turns out we're trying to gentrify a lot of things in the Bahamas right now. So, a little bit more of what is in the news. A little bit of housekeeping. A listener brought it to my attention that there is a Ministry of Works issue on Charles Sanders Highway. And they indicated that a number of the lights on the highway are not functioning. And so what they've indicated is if anybody listening, working with the Ministry of Works is listening, that on the Seabreeze side, so on the entrance, the Charles Sanders Highway, the Seabreeze entrance, the first three lights are on, but the next five lights are off, and driving at night can be very treacherous and dangerous. So their Ministry of Works, or the MP responsible, and their MP, whether you're running again or not, you're still responsible until that day. That's another reason why politicians should encourage their government, right? Their cabinet, their party structure, whatever, however they filter party through their culture, that they should encourage them to focus on things like fixed election dates. Because here you are. You won't retire dead bad. You won't quit dead bad, but you can't. Even though the people say they don't want you, you still can't go home. You still got to do the work. The text just says, it most definitely is behavior modification because I have a delivery service and I'm everywhere all the time and I hardly ever see people not wearing masks. You hardly see them wearing masks or you hardly see them not wearing masks? I see we got a caller on the line, Arlington. Let's check out that caller. Just a deadline, eh? No worries. We also have issues with traffic lights. This morning on the way into the studio, I noticed that the lights at Frederick Street and Shirley Street and the lights at Market Street where it meets Duke and King Street are off. This is very problematic because those two corners, the Market Street side and the Frederick Street side, are essentially blind corners. And the lovely people at Shirley and Frederick in the northernmost lane think that turn left on red is for them. They don't understand that we can accommodate a turn left in that northern lane, possibly, but not in the southern lane, but not in the northern lane. Please stop turning left on red at Frederick and Shirley Street. Please exercise caution. And please, when you see a police officer, indicate to them that a good thing to do would be to post officers at those intersections, particularly because of the weather and reduced visibility. Arlington, let's try that call now. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Hey, good morning, Miss Green. How you doing this morning?
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
I am blessed, man, to wake up in the land of the living. I'm just a what? Open line show today you basically dealing with?
No, it's what's in the news. It's what's in the news.
It's something that was in the news yesterday.
What was it?
It's relevant to basically what you're talking about this morning.
Well, let's talk about it briefly.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for engaging me.
Yeah, ma'am.
First of all, right, I watched a lady yesterday on the news. She was a restaurant owner.
Okay.
And she said that how she went to beyond the call of duty when it comes to the measures of having in place
the
for her restaurant, like her tables are 6 feet apart. Every place you walk in a restaurant, there's something on the wall to sanitize your hand or anything. She said something that would really stand out. And I think, Aaron, you might agree with it or not, but basically in country, especially in the Bahamas, people normally dine after 6, 7, basically.
Yeah.
Is it fair to say?
Yeah.
Okay. So she said that if once the curfew is now back to 9 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
Her business is going to suffer again.
Yeah.
Because lots of persons who had reservations for like 8 o'clock, 8:30, it doesn't make any sense for her, trying to accommodate them because the time wouldn't allow it.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to figure out, Aaron, is that what happens to the people who are abiding by the protocol rules, who are doing the things, who are sanitizing, if they want to get the shot, they get the shot. If they don't get the shot,
mm-hmm.
but they're doing everything. They're wearing the mask. They're practicing the social distance. They're not having social gathering. They're not having a bunch of people. They ain't hiring no Airbnb to have no parties. What about the innocent people? Where does that leave persons like myself and maybe other thousands and thousands of other persons?
Well, I can tell you where it leaves us to it. It leaves us relying on the public to understand the need to shift behavior, practices, and culture to accommodate both the protocols and the needs of the important institutions in our communities and our societies.
But, Ms. Green, I want to say one last thing to you before I go, so I have something to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Something? I come to realization last night. It's not governments, It's not the police, It's not the pastors, It's some of our own people who condone it in the parties, who condone it in the sneaking to have the little B&B, whatever they name,
mm-hmm.
on the weekends to have the parties. Those who know better but decide to say, well, look here, I ain't sick. I don't care if I go out where I go. These people ain't sick. But Miss Green, I don't know what you have. You don't know what I have.
Right.
So in order for this, Bahamian people, for this to come to some kind of control, we have to take personal responsibility. I don't care how much Dr. Renmid Wells, whoever, Mr. Davis, Mr. Dr. Davil, I don't care who, until we as Bahamians or as people take personal responsibilities of saying, look, yeah, we ain't gonna have the parties, we ain't gonna have the this and we ain't gonna have that. Until then, our numbers can go up and up, our debts can go up, and up, and then we can sit down and we can call the talk shows and we can say, hey, Aaron, someone just died yesterday.
Yeah. But and my heart is broken and we have to shut the whole country down.
Thank you very much. And what happens to persons like other persons who have businesses who want to survive?
That's right. Thank you. Thank you.
Have a good one. Have a good one, Aaron.
Absolutely. Man, DeWitt, you know, that's an awesome point that you raise. And, you know, I'm going to reiterate what I said. It's incumbent upon us, Bahamians, generally, to shift our behavior. We know that the PM has reduced the open hours. And so we now curfew starts at 9. That means restaurants have to close at 8 so people could be home for 9, which means that kitchens have to stop cooking at 7. Which means that people who get off of work at 5:30 or 6 o'clock can't do what they normally do, which is, oh, we can decide where we're going to eat when we meet in the parking lot or for drinks, and then we can go over and see what they have to eat. We got to be more deliberate about what it is we want to do with our time and our money and plan it out. I see I got a couple callers on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron. What's in the news?
Boy, look here. You know what's in the news? A bunch of pot cakes. 80 Port Bahamian, Royal Bahamian pot cakes have become ambassadors, and they're going to Michigan.
Going to be American?
Yeah.
Because wow, that's in the news.
Yeah, but they can't really be American.
Now, I am glad our AG, Terrence Bastian, finally come up his long extended stay.
You mean Auditor General?
Auditor General. He's been asking ministers to unveil these LLCs for months. Who is the beneficiary owner of our money? How many millions took out the money? In other words, many of the daughters want to go to election to hide the truth. And why do you want to go to election?
Now, hold on, pause. That's what we could ask. Why you want to go to election? We don't know exactly why yet.
But then that's that could be one of the reasons. A lot of money as the authority, a lot of money passed through his hands or through his office. The auditors asked him, these companies, who own these companies? I got these millions. The auditors don't know to this day, who own these companies? Yep.
And the response from the other AG, right? The response from the attorney general was equally amazing.
But what happened to transparency and accountability? And we are not corrupt. That is a blatant slap in our face. What disgusts me, now you know, our prime minister, to me, he suffers from what's called claustrophobia. He wants to get run with wares all this power.
Now, look here. Be careful. What? Be careful now. I don't think he won't give anybody any power.
He said, of health.
Yeah, yeah. With that bill, transferring the authority to the... Look here. I'm going to be honest with you. That can't even make any sense. Look at the two issues you just raised, right? Here we have the Auditor General asking the government to follow procedures laid out in ordinary legislation and underpinned by constitutional provisions, right?
Yes.
And the AG going to turn around and say, the Attorney General going to turn around and say, well, I didn't even know y'all wanted this. If somebody had told me y'all wanted, I could have given y'all the answer a long time.
Why did the man come to the press? Yeah, I guess he even had his final wit end to release them, unveil the companies. It's called unveil these LLCs.
Yeah, yeah. The names of the beneficial
owners.
I tell you what. There's a quick solution to this. Whenever you feel like your government don't want to talk to you about your money, you gotta find a supranational or intra. Governmental organization, right? You got to go to the IMF and say, psst, psst.
But we're in trouble. I think telling people, ministers cannot take stress good. He cannot handle stress. When he's been to help, Papa runs out.
But let's rephrase that. Hold on. Let's rephrase that. Because we don't know if he can't handle stress. The truth is, hold on. The truth is he's a gynecological doctor, right?
That's all.
Hold on. That's plenty stress, buddy. Trust me. Pause. That's plenty stress. So it's not necessarily that he can't handle the stress. I think the real issue is that the system through which these decisions have to be filtered cannot handle any stress.
So listen, one of my aunt is a midwife.
Yeah.
She says they do all the work. doctor shows up and gets $5,000. Then he asks the doctor, is the baby breech? Doctor, they do all the work. If it's a natural baby, doctor gets $5,000 and he don't show up.
Right, thank you. But look here, I got another caller on the line.
Listen, Brentwood Wells is our pseudo prime minister now.
Well, here's what it is. The bill hasn't been passed yet.
But who would even make it up? Who would make up, given the mental health or that power, that ain't even say, at the advice of the prime minister?
Look here, L-O-I don't know.
L-O-I don't play.
L-O-I. Look here, I got to go. I got another caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
A godly day to this dark in the waste along with you, Aaron Pretty Eye Grant.
Good morning, Bremen. How you do?
I'm doing terribly poor.
What happened?
No sight, no money, and no woman.
But listen, first of all, you need vision. If you had vision, you'd see you got a planet full of all of them things.
So that's what I'm saying.
All of them things.
That's why I'm doing terribly poor. Now, I listened to that brother, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just then. What I agree with him with a lot of things, you know, because what I've experienced, a lot of people doesn't want to work, but they want their $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
And other point is, right, what makes me sick in Nassau, this Nassau are being kept so much filthy, okay?
Yeah, garbage the island is definitely in a mess.
You're kicking garbage as you walk, garbage on the walkway, hedges over the walkway need to be trimmed. I mean, something needs to be given. And the thing is, the government got all of those people, the public works, right, playing domino all day, whereby they're getting our tax money. Put them to work.
Thank you, Bremen. I agree with you.
Another thing is, right, my last point before I go.
Quickly.
Those people in which, 2 points, those people in which be hanging around, people gazing in the night, mm-hmm. late in the night, and you call the police telling you they are in the street. Boy, this is people, private premises. Get them from around their premises for making noise. Because if I start making noise, they're going to call the police for me. My last point is, right?
Uh-huh.
Those lot of people in which squatting on people's land, whereby government would not fix the property situation.
Yeah.
And they're causing a lot of problem. Government need to stop the problem in which we are getting by fixing this land problem.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely. That issue of filth and dirt in the community is an important one, and it's especially important one for people with disabilities or who are visually challenged, right, or physically challenged, because it makes it difficult for them to move safely through the community that they should be able to move through like anybody else. That third point, that last point, there's a real housing crisis. And, you know, I wanted to ask, I didn't really get to the conversation about how do we celebrate Olympic athletes and medalists, right? But this idea that corporations are willing to give vacation packages and governments are willing to give land, right? In the midst of a housing crisis. And I just wonder how we rationalize, how do we think through these decisions that we make? I've got some texts here. Let's get to the text line before we go to a break, Arlington. And we get that last caller before we go to the break. Good morning. Can you highlight Bay Street Medical just by the point? They are always crowded, blocking up traffic. And how did they get business licenses? They do not have enough parking. Physically Planning complained about my business not having enough parking, and we have no customers. Boy, Texter, look at how I was trying to avoid talking about that thing I had noted on my sheet this morning. And I just want to say, if Bay Street Medical is a drive-in vaccination site, right? Like you sit in your car and you get vaccinated. I could understand why you would have lines of people in their cars. I can't understand how it got approved to be located in that space. That is just ridiculous. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. And if it's about the proximity to the hotel and the tourists, Why wouldn't you use the parking structure to create a drive-through in your car testing process? I agree with you. And I don't understand how the police on Bay Street could not be locking up people for traffic infractions, but be locking up people in other parts of the island for traffic infractions and other types of infractions. Another text here. Good morning, Ms. Green. I live in the south. The power's been off since 4 a.m. this morning. BPL has done it again. Same foolishness every summer. When will it end? I spoke to somebody this morning who said they were in Fox Hill at about 9:38, 20 minutes to 10, and they didn't have any power either. Good morning, Mr. Finlayson, and to your guests. Oh, I think that was from another show. But Mr. Finlayson and Mrs. Carol Lashley, oh, that's a whole nother station. Never mind. Dear Texter, you on the wrong station. Aaron, I have to say it right. You nip one, you nip the bags in and suck away. That's the baggy instruction. Y'all be denying these little children the joys that drove our childhoods. Aaron, I have to say it right. You nip one end of the bag, bottom, and suck away. Listen, it is a summer treat. Don't deny your children this. Don't. And if you could do it in your own home, make it with lemonade or watered-down Kool-Aid. Let me get to the caller, and then I'm going to get back to these texts. Caller, you're on the clock.
A pleasant good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning. How you doing?
Sparky here. You know, not hitting my friend a little too hard there, but Raymond has burned me up sometimes. Raymond is a blind man, you know.
I know.
I'm blaming the country daily. How can a blind man see the country being daily?
Because
and the people who can see can't see it daily.
That's the part. The people with eyes can't see it.
Raymond said the island is so daily. And Raymond blind. So what do you think about the people who wait for the ministry to wake a day? They pick up garbage in our area for a whole week.
You want me to tell you exactly what I think? They have more dollars than cents.
But I'd like to say another thing before I go. Nothing long and historical today, because, you know, I got the beans to the history.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to say a shout-out to those families in the Valley area. The Valley, as you know it, is that area around Montreal. That's what we call the Valley. The Valley Boys is a juggalo group that meets on Bay now, but they scattered all over the island.
Mm-hmm.
But the Valley area we refer to between Centerville and Mackey Street, they all call all of that the Valley, down to Wolf Road and stuff like that. That includes Centerville, mm-hmm. Hawkinsville, Mackey Street, all of that area. But the last week or so, I have been hearing so many people passing away
mm-hmm.
daily. First of all, the wife of the well-renowned Mr. Donald Davis, our old headmaster of Eastern Senior School, where I attended.
Is that who D.W. Davis is named after?
Yes, Donald Davis.
Yeah.
His wife, Dolly Davis, passed away
mm-hmm.
The day before yesterday.
Yes.
I remember a friend of mine, we were driving up and we saw some people walking this lady to a car. And then a day or two later, we heard that she had passed.
Mm-hmm.
The following day, her daughter passed yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Dornella Davis, I heard, passed yesterday. That's mother and daughter
mm-hmm.
passed within days apart. Dornella and I and a host of people graduated from the government high on Pontiac Avenue in 1970 June. So that's an old schoolmate of mine. So, and then we heard that Mr. Al McCartney died. And then his sister died.
Mm-hmm.
And this morning I'm hearing another friend of a family member died. So it seems as if the Valley has had its share of COVID and of death. To Sparky, who is an original Valley Boys, I would like to say from my family to the families of the Valley area that have lost loved ones because of COVID and whatever else have you, this week alone,
mm-hmm.
within days,
yes.
four people gone, within days. Now, somebody just texted me this morning that somebody else just gone again today. So I would like to say my condolences goes out to the valley and the families of those dearly departed people. My heart and my love go out to all of you. So everybody in this country, this pandemic, this virus is real.
Thank you, Sparky.
Stop playing.
Thank you, Sparky. You're absolutely right. I want to say this. I can forever call you Sparky because every time I speak to you, you spark something in my brain and in my spirit. And I want to say that this is also a call to action for us to understand the need to document the lives and lived experiences of those in our families, in our communities, and that have driven the country. And the truth is, you won't know until you hear the stories. Who is responsible for what? Every story is important. So it's not just the people connected to a Sparky that can call their name. It's every life. This is a national security issue. Our dereliction, our lack of care for the process of death. Anyway, that's my music. It's time to go to a break. And when we get back, I'll get back to these texts and back to my list, my housekeeping list, things in the news. Stay tuned to 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The rocks are 2-4-2. The count depends on you. So tell Teddy to go tell below. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the Solution. Sponsor On the Clock of Aaron Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It is Thursday, the 12th of August, and you are on the clock with Aaron Green. And we are talking what's in the news, what's in the papers, and what's not in the news. Talking about what is a real Bahamian. I saw that Brave Davis ad talking about how his family come from subsistence farmers, you know. And it made me think about how we sort of assign or ascribe wealth, value. Like, what do we give value to? What do we say is valuable, right? And how we shifted from a space where the majority of us were sort of subsistence farmers. Everybody was trying to grow a little something, to this place now where you realize that your ability or capacity to grow some of your own food is where the value is, right? So, like, I don't even know if it's a full circle. But how is it that we could use the idea or the image of the subsistence farmer to indicate poverty? And in 2021, we try and have conversations that show you the value and the wealth in being able to grow a little bit of your own food. Anyway, let me get back to the text line. Guys, text says, the government must reconsider this 9 p.m. time. Listen, Aaron, this is insane. How does the science support these time changes? This is ridiculous. The lawless will be lawless. Why do we have to be punished for them? Business owners like myself are paying the price. Like I said, business owner, what is really, well, an alternate solution is that your customers, your customer base and the society at large acknowledges and commits to shifting its behavior, their rituals and habits to be able to accommodate you and the new protocols. I could be honest with you guys. I went to a local restaurant to get lunch, and I thought they opened at 11, but, you know, I understand if I get there and you don't open till 11:30, that's the standard lunchtime. But when we pulled up at the quarter past 11 or 20 minutes past 11, a gas truck was there putting giving the people them gas. And I began to do a time calculation to get a sense of how long it's likely to take for me to get my food from the point of ordering, right? And the person said it would take about 20 minutes. And I thought, wow, how? I didn't say anything out loud. And how could it take 20 minutes? If I'm here from you open, why would my food take 20 minutes? Aren't you prepared to serve food as soon as your restaurant opens to the public? Or is it that your staff come to work the same time your customers come to work? It's the same thing with food deliveries for restaurants. Why are restaurants receiving, or why are distributors making deliveries while the restaurant is open? Wouldn't you make deliveries before the restaurant opens? And why can't businesses schedule staff to come in to accommodate that? Why aren't bakeries in the Bahamas baking at 3 a.m., you know, 4 a.m., with bread ready to hit the road at 5 a.m. when the curfew is lifted? So I agree with you. There's a whole lot wrong and out of balance, right? But some of it is about us, the customer, being willing to change and changing this attitude. A lot of us have this attitude of, I come to spend my money, so what you trying to tell me? And then, you know, I have to say to the customers, what I'm trying to tell you is how you could spend your money here. Don't think just because it's money that I can take it. Another text, is there data? Oh, from the texter earlier that said that they are seeing the positive behavior modification, because everywhere they go, they are seeing people wearing masks religiously. Another texter goes on to say, is there data to show that people get infected at Airbnbs, like how they say there were infections at a church, or are we just going from hearsay? Well, I think the church incident was contact tracing and people willingly sharing information, right? I think that's how that happened. But certainly, what we should be getting from our contact tracing program is data like that, right? Data like that. Do we need a Airbnb inspector, a team that comes in and ensures that units are properly cleaned, or that they use the service of a certified desanitizing company? Good morning. I submit that the Minister of Health will only appear to have that power. It will still lie with the Prime Minister. Don't be fooled. 1 minute, folks. Well, I wanted to ask people what was the distinction between the power, quote unquote, sitting in the GG's hand and sitting in the Minister of Health's hand. And what's the difference between it sitting in the Minister of Health's hand and the competent authority's hand? What is the real difference? And is that the reason why you want to put it in, entrench these things into ordinary legislation? Another text says, unless a mother is having a cesarean or a C-section to have a baby, the stress and the pressure is on the mother to push, not the doctor. Maybe you said that because maybe you don't have any children. No, I said that because doctors still have a liability. They still should be concerned for your life. Mothers, people, women giving birth are in between one world and the next. Doctors practice medicine. It must be a stressful time. And any doctor worth their salt, any doctor who will see me, should be deathly concerned. They, when they waking on me, they should be thinking about Corinne Mitchell, Daddy O. Stephen Mitchell, Lisa Mitchell Powell Cambridge, Una Hasty, and all the people under the pear tree and the dilly tree who will do them in if they kill me on this table due to negligence and recklessness. There is a lot of stress, or there should be, and it's not because he is doing the work. It's because he has a duty of care. See, that's it. It's because he has a duty of care. I think this is one of the things that we should look at in the de-evolution or the degradation or the breaking down of the civil service and how government functions. Just because he isn't doing the work doesn't mean that he doesn't have a duty of care or that he isn't ultimately responsible for what's happening. And you see, when you look at it from the political perspective, you can see that you may have been convinced by these very same politicians that the onus and the burden is on you and you alone to deliver on this massive project. When reality, it don't matter what you do or don't do, the burden lies with them, the politician, to succeed or not succeed, to deliver or not deliver. The burden is on them. And they have to figure out how to inspire you to do the work so they don't fail. Don't let the political culture seep into everything you do. Yes, the midwife and the doula and the mother who straddles two realms. I don't need to have delivered a child to understand that or to understand what they look like, how they should operate. Another text, Mr. Green, I just hope you forget the S. And even then, I ain't a Mrs. yet. Green, I hope the PLP used the guy DeWitt in good way with his heart. Who knows what he can do or help? That's exactly it, Texter. That's exactly it. Do they see the value that they already have in their organization, and do they know how to place it properly? And I could be honest with you, they don't. And you know how I know they don't? Because when they run the government, when they're in charge of the government, you don't see them doing general skills assessments and then redeploying people into places where they're better suited. You don't see it happening. So that's how you know. But you're right, do it. And whether they do it or not do it, you keep doing it, because ideas are like a magic penny. You hold it tight, you won't have any. Another text says, morning, Aaron. One thing I can honestly say, out of all your PLP callers, DeWitt is the only one who don't put politics before the people. I don't know him, never seen him, but he seems to have love in his heart for people. Good show, Aaron. Thank you. Another text. I agree with that caller. Dr. Minnis appears to like the pomp and pageantry of the office, but when told of the actual work falls on him and the weight of the work falls on him, he quickly tries to transfer responsibility to someone else. He went so far as to tell Bannister he'd pass the work of PM office to him. Yeah, that was interesting, hey. But I think that was just a gimmick that failed. I think Minnis was just trying to convince us that he's not power hungry, you know? He's not power hungry, and he'd give the power away right away. It doesn't matter to him. I think it matters. I think it matters. Another text, morning. I bet bills like what they trying to pass are being implemented all over the world. We must not allow this dangerous bill to pass. Fascism is here. Well, here's my thing. I technically don't know if the bill is dangerous or not, because I haven't seen it. I haven't touched it. I haven't heard any politician talk about it. I haven't heard any cabinet minister speak to it in reference or in the terms that are relevant to the work that their ministry does. I haven't heard any local lawyers talk about it or parse out any of the provisions in it. I haven't seen a discussion highlighting or asking the wider public, which of the protocols do you think we should keep and which ones should we not keep? I just don't have enough information to determine it. And it's sort of like I said earlier, one of the things I wanted to sort of talk about today, but there's more time, and mainly because like the other texters say, I ain't got no children. What about school reopening? We in the second week of August. In fact, by Monday, come in, we'll be in the third week of August. Where is the information that parents are supposed to use to plan for this coming year? Where is it? But you know, like the texters say, I ain't got no children, so why up in the people business? Another text, Miss Green, why can't they just close the places down where they know people crowd? For us folk who only do a little outdoor dining, why are we suffering? Imagine getting off at 5 and wanting to do a nice dinner date and can't because you get there 5:36 and have to order food before 7. It takes 30 minutes just to get in the groove. Now, see, texter, that's what I was talking about. We have to take on some behavioral shifts. We got to understand the limitation of time. See, here's what I'm going to suggest. I'm going to suggest that, and this is going to be very radical, but think about it. I'm going to suggest that we all start our days earlier. We keep the same working hours, but we shift the whole 8-hour workday earlier. You got sun earlier, get more sunlight, start the day earlier, right? Let people off earlier so that they can accommodate some of these businesses before they close. Also, two restaurants, here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to start training your people better, and you're going to have to start creating work environments that people actually want to work in. And you got to pay people a sensible wage. And if you're the patron, you got to be nice. You guys stop being disgusting customers and restaurateurs and patrons. Right? We have to come together and decide what is valuable to us and what we are willing to do to keep them. See, I even started talking, we're even talking about security officers. They got to keep the whole shebang safe. And what with security officers, and I want to make a note, I want to say thank you to all the security officers that are doing their job and the staff's job, right? I want to say thank you to the security officer who works the door at the fast food restaurant but went to find a cleaning spray, a sanitizer to sanitize the cashier space, right, where you order your food because a customer was sneezing and nobody behind. The cashier decided it was necessary to spray it down. Another text, Aaron, you see Minnis cancel the election and the next day the U.S. send a vaccine. That means they had vaccine in storage for us a long time because they did not want Minnis use vaccine as election propaganda. Wow, that is interesting. That is very interesting. I mean, I used to think about some things like this, you know, but I hadn't thought about that. So he wouldn't use the vaccines as election propaganda. That's interesting. I would have thought they were like, buddy, stop playing with politics, right? Like stop the idea of an early election. Wow, you stunned me there. And I've heard some things this week that stunned me. Another text. Do you ever hear any of those things? Are you ever given the information and consideration you deserve from your leaders and learned talking heads? Do you? I feel like I don't. I really honestly do. And I can imagine why other members of society have sort of given up, why people stop trying to participate in governance and politics, because it's so hard to find the information. And then when you try to look for it, God forbid somebody answer the phone or the voicemail system is initialized and then somebody responds to the message that you left for them. You know, I understand why people get frustrated, but I can show you a why. Dear Rotary, please, anybody from Rotary, reach out to me because is what I think is a mechanism that we can use to help the government disseminate information to the masses. The government already uses civic organizations like Rotary to engage the private sector with new policy ideas and decisions, right? So why don't we encourage Rotary to create a mechanism to help the government by using Rotary to disseminate that information to other types of civil society organizations and private sector organizations and to the general public? I think that would be a great idea. It's 11:01 a.m. Arlington. I think I got to go home now, find a phone book and begin pesterizing Rotarians about how they could be the striking force in moving this country forward. But I tell you what, that's better than pesterizing farmers about mangoes. Just in case you forgot, the mango season is not finished yet. Your mango tree may not have any more mangoes on it, but trust me, there are still mangoes left out there. So don't let a mango go to waste this mango season. Seek out your favorite mango farmer and ask them if they have a mango you could buy from them. Your country needs you. We all need you to play your part. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed today's show and discussion. There's so much more we have to talk about. Tomorrow we may delve into it a little bit, but I have Mr. Christopher Davis coming back to join us for our Culture Friday segment to continue the conversation into his research about John Canoe and discovering that his real name is Jian Kwa. And he's definitely from Ghana. It was such a wonderful conversation, but we're going to talk about Sankofa Flamingo and the history of John Canoe and the World John Canoe Foundation and Festival. Another text, too late, he already done that. I mean, the PM. Boy, I thought you was too late to get that text in. Anyway, I gotta go. Have a great day, Bahamas. Have a great day.